Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen, amen. It's not just for the young. We'd like to thank you for tuning in once again. We are the Beginnings Ministry here every Wednesday at 7 p.m. And we'd like to thank you for taking the time to join us this hour. We know that you could be doing anything. You could be doing anything, but you chose to join us this evening. So we do thank you. For those of you who are listening by internet. You can call in and participate. If you have a question for the speaker, call in 347-237-4054. 347-237-4054. All those of you who would like to listen face-to-face, you can call in on our Zoom. It's 505-563-6808, and the passcode for that is Psalm 23, capital P-S-A-L-M 23. If you'd like to call in and you don't want to show your face, that's still okay, all right? You can go blog, or you can even go Zoom and just call in. And how you go about doing that, the call-in number is 309-205-3325. Let me say that again. It sounds like I was tongue twisted. 309-205-3325. That's the call-in number. And the passcode would be the same as our Zoom, 505-563-6808. Amen. I think I've done enough advertising on that. If you'd like to go back and listen to this message, go on to Blog Talk Radio. All right, Pastor Miles. If you'd like to go, you know, we love to have fun. We love to laugh. Isn't that the beauty of the God that we serve? Amen. Sometimes he just smiles at our little mistakes. And, you know, so I thank God for that. But anyhow, listen, you can go into the Blog Talk Radio and listen to this message again. Go into Blog Talk Radio, then type in, "We Can Begin Again." Amen. We Can Begin Again on Blog Talk Radio. You can listen to this message. Make sure that you listen to it. I have my co-worker on the line, Pastor Tamar Gray. Amen. A inspiring, she's very inspirational to the kids as well as the adults in the building. And when I found out that she was a pastor, I jumped on that real quick and I said, she could come on with the word. So this is the first time I'm welcoming her. Could you please just give her a warm welcome, Mother Gloria? Are you on?
Yes. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Good evening, Pastor Dr. John Clay. It is my honor and my privilege to welcome for the first time Pastor Tamar Clay and Gray. And also from the Call Unto Me Ministry, we also would like to welcome you for the first time also. And so for those that have not been to the Call Unto Me Ministry, I'm just going to let you know you can call in Monday through Thursday, Friday Church Talk Radio, and come to a place where everyone is someone. So Pastor Gray, I want to welcome you to the Call Unto Me Ministry. Whatever you feel led, and Pastor Clay give you the information, and you can come and you can bring a word on Church Talk Radio. So it is my privilege to welcome you tonight, and I'm so glad to be able to hear your message tonight. God bless you. Thank you for coming tonight and being in the service of bringing the word, the lesson that God has laid on your heart. God bless you.
Amen, amen. Pastor Miles.
Oh, welcome on today. How you doing? Always good to see a nice face. And I'm looking forward to the word because the title caught my attention. And I'm going to wait till you get the word and just ask because it got me excited on today with the scripture. Your family.
Amen.
Your family here now. So now, since you already here, we put you in the rotation.
Yes.
I'm already letting you know right now. Since you have accepted, you placed in the rotation.
Come on, Lord.
Amen. I will be getting your credentials. You will be filling in some time on third Wednesday. I'm calling things that be not as though they were. Welcome to smile. God.
Amen. Thank you. Amen. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
Amen. And Pastor Gray, again, we do thank you for being a part of this hour. Right now, I'm going to move out of the way, and I'm going to turn everything over to you. This is Pastor Tamar Gray from Grace Communion Church out of Cleveland. Amen.
Thank you, Dr. Clay. And, you know, I don't know anything else to call you but Dr. Clay. I'll call you Pastor in front of the kids, and then we get all kinds of questions. So, Dr. Clay, to be here and to be able to share today. You know, we have code words as believers. And so when Dr. Clay and I are talking, we suddenly find ourselves saying things like, but God, or saying things like, if they only knew. And so that's when we knew. That connection, spirit knows spirit. And I believe the first time I met you, Dr. Clay, you did say something that caught my ear, and it was of the spiritual godly nature. So God allows us, when we are willing to speak out, to meet one another. And I always say it's no accident. It's not by accident. It is by appointment. So I am very, very pleased to be here. Thanking your lovely wife also, Dr. Suzanne, who I had the privilege of meeting one night not long ago. We'll talk about those times another time. So I thank you for this honor and this privilege. Today, we're going to be looking at Luke 15. We're going to be looking at Luke 15. And there are all kinds of versions or parts. You can get the NIV, you can get the King James Version, you can get the ESV, you can get the Message. A lot of what I'm doing is NIV and ESV, just to let you know as you hear it, that's where it's coming from. But before I even start, I just want to say a quick prayer that just God be with us. So let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for this opportunity. Lord, anytime we get to share your word, it is a privilege and an honor.
Yeah.
But Lord, word and not mine. Let everything, Lord, that you want to take root, take root. And if it's not to take root, just take it away, Lord. May you be glorified for your name's sake. May all be done and said decently in order. We just turn this time over to you and ask for your Holy Spirit's blessing. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So, Luke, amen. In Luke 15, we get Jesus talking to tax collectors and sinners. And they are gathering around to hear what Jesus has to say. But also with the tax collectors and the sinners, a little bit on the outskirts are the Pharisees and the teachers. And they're whispering about who Jesus is meeting with, we find out in verse 1. They're saying, look at him eating with those sinful folks. Look at what he's doing. And so Jesus, of course, being Jesus, he knows all. He sees all because of his father. So he says, I'm going to start telling the story. So he gets to telling the story about three small things. The first thing and the
Are you not?
That he read, and he goes after that one sheep that ran away. Now, he had 100 sheep. There were 99 left. There's a song about he'll knock down any door. He'll go anywhere to get a hold of the one, because that's what he does for us. Because we know everything he's talking about right now refers to who we are as sinners and those who he knows, who he goes after. And that's what we have to keep track of, because many of us on here, probably all of us, are believers and we know certain things. But there are those people who don't know. They need to know that Jesus will actively pursue them, pursue after them, chase after them to bring them back. Yeah, they'll keep fighting. They'll keep refusing. But when he wants to get your attention, he will. And I love the story about sheep, because we were doing Psalm 23 this past Sunday, and we were talking about how he has a club and a rod. Now, I used to not pay attention to that. He has a club, which is the rod and the staff. That's what I meant, the rod and the staff. Now, the rod is to beat off wild animals, but it's also to prod the sheep. Gently move them. Come on. Come on, sheep. Start moving, right? But the staff is to yank the sheep back into order. So I thought about that, and I thought about how often he will take and he will prod us, and he will gently move us along
mm-hmm.
and prod us with the rod. But then when we're not listening and he is pursuing us, he will put his staff out and he will move us where he wants us to be or even bring us to our knees so that we will come to our senses, as we'll find out later, and know that, wait a minute, Lord, whatever you say, wait a minute, Lord, whatever you say, I'm willing to follow. Well, he's talking about these three lost things, and that sheep is one. So when the man, the shepherd, finds his sheep, he rejoices, calls his friends together to celebrate. I like that. It's a good party. Calls his friends to celebrate because the one that was gone is now found. And it says in there that there will be rejoicing in heaven over the one sinner who repents than the 99 who did not repent.
Mm-hmm.
So the one is important. Next, the woman and the lost coin. She loses her coin, rolls under someplace. She has no idea where it is. She's whipping across the house to find it, and she finds it. What a relief. I'm going to imagine the coin was worth a lot, but it might not have been. It might have been all she had, right? She gets the coin, and she, again, here we go, celebration, asks her friends to come and celebrate with her. And it says there will be rejoicing of angels of God over the one who repents. And that brings us to Luke 15, 11 through, I'm going to skip 11, and I'm going to keep going down. Let me go on. I just told you all about those three lost things. Now, in 11, I do want to be in 11. I'm going to start reading. Follow me. If you have your own scripture, I always encourage people to have it either on your phone or in front of you, but follow the word to make sure I'm telling you the truth. Because if I'm not telling you the truth, please hang up and pray for me. But let's read the word carefully. Here we go, verse 11 of 15. And he said, there was a man who had two sons. Now remember, he's talking in front of the Pharisees and the teachers, and he's talking in front of the sinners. So the sinners and the tax collectors, those first two stories were, this is just it, okay? Follow me. There was a man who had two sons, verse 12, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between them. Wow. First of all, in those times, to ask your father to give what is your inheritance is to basically say, I wish you were dead.
Mm-hmm.
I wish you were dead, Dad. But what does his father do? He takes and he divides it up and he says, here you go, son. What kind of love is that? What kind of great mercy and love is that? You've got to know that he knows his son. He knows his son. This isn't something new. He knows his son really doesn't have really good sense, but he goes ahead and he gives it to him. I wonder why. Think about that for a second. Basically, moving on, saying, I wish you were dead, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. Verse 13, not many days later. That shows you how fast he ran through it. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into the far country, and there he squandered his property in reckless living.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you have family like I have family, you know people like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever they get, they squander in reckless living. And we look at them like they have lost their minds. But this father, let's just wait. And when he had spent everything, in verse 14, what did it take for that to happen? He had spent everything. A severe famine arose in the country, and he began to be in need. Where did all his friends go? That was my wondering. Because I'm sure when he had the money, they were all around. But when the money was gone, didn't Billie Holiday say, when it's gone and spending it, they don't come anymore. They were gone. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into the fields to feed the pigs. Not a luxury job. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate. And no one, let me say that again, no one gave him anything. There was a famine. Everybody was starving. Somebody had pigs. All intents and purposes were unclean animals to them. But we'll know what people, we don't know what people will do when you're at the state of starving, because not many of us have been in that predicament where we were starving, where you will eat anything. And no one would give him anything. So he was at the lowest point. I figure at this point, I'm seeing the rod kind of yanking to your knees, kind of getting you and your attention, and not a friend to be found. Not a friend to be found. Let's go to verse 17. But when he came to himself, I'll circle that part. When he came to himself, he came to his senses. He said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father. You see him rehearsing in his mind what he's going to say. And I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. So he figures if he says the right word, his father will take him back. And he arose and came to his father. And I circled this part. And please, I know you might have heard this before. You might have even preached it before. But this part so affects me. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. His father, all this time, was looking for him to come back.
Amen.
Because while he was still a long way off, his father saw him, recognized him a long way off. I love that. That's what God does for us. We just turn a little bit. I haven't even gotten to say my speech yet. You think about the son. His father saw him a long way off, ran to him before he could say anything, and embraced him and kissed him. Even in our mess, the father is looking for us. Let's go to verse 21. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, his practice speech, right? I am no longer worthy to be called your son, but any. I wanted to keep going, but the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put the ring on his hand and the shoes on his feet, and bring fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. Wait a minute, I only got this part of what I said, how I was trying to repent, right? Mm-hmm. For this, my son was dead, and he is alive again. He was lost, and he is found. And they began to celebrate. Let's think about this, what he got. I'm thinking the son came from the pig. He wasn't smelling really nice. Maybe he tried to clean himself up the best he could, but the father had compassion for him, as he does for us. And the grace of all that he's rehearsed by repentance before the father, he knows I'm coming because he saw me a long way off. And he asked for a robe.
Mm-hmm.
And a robe, you talk about that a robe is something that covers, that shows protection, love, mercy. When someone's cold, you put that on them. But a robe in those times, that covering showed you belong. And to what household, usually.
Mm-hmm.
Just as Jesus covers our sins, I thought about that. When he covered him, he was not only covering him just to give him the robe, he was covering the dirt, the sin. That robe did more than just bring him back into community. Then he gave him a ring. In ancient times, a ring had a seal on it, because Everybody couldn't travel as well as we can by plane, by train, by boat, by whatever we do. And but still, you would send either your son or somebody in authority to take the seal and to make the agreement with someone. And the seal, they would use the ring that you gave them. So giving him a ring showed a symbol of authority and power and responsibility. We're giving the son who sent all the money, who wished I was dead, responsibility and power and authority. That's who God is when he looks at us, when he cleans us up. And then the sandals. Footwear symbolized social status, protection. You're not coming back as a slave or a servant. You see, he gave him all this before he came in the house. He gave him this when he met him outside of the house, so that when he came in the house, he's recognized as his son again. You're coming back, and you've got shoes on your feet. Slaves and servants didn't have shoes. This is a beautiful picture of salvation, restoration, unconditional love and grace. All the son had to offer was his desperation. And isn't that all we have to offer? And knowing, turning back to the father would mean, I know my father's going to give me something to eat, and that's the best I can hope for. But this son received more than he ever hoped for, and don't we? When we turn back to him, this beautiful picture, he had no idea, and we don't either, the compassion and the grace that the Lord has for us, that has in store for us, that is awaited, that is waiting for us when we turn back to him. So there is a turning back that happens. Did you see that? He did turn back to him. That's repentance. I want to talk about the second lost son, because I usually skip this part because the first part's so good. I read this part, but I don't think about it. Now, remember, Jesus was not only talking to the sinners and the tax collectors, but there are those Pharisees and teachers. And so they thought that's a good story for those sinners because they didn't see that, because they knew the law. And they believed if they kept the law, they would be in good shape. Mm-hmm. Everything told in the story before now was leading to this, because he knew that the Pharisees and the teachers were listening. Verse 25, now there was an older son, and he was in the field, and he came, wait a minute, and drew near to the house. He heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked, what these things meant? Verse 27, and he said to him, your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound. But he was angry and refused to go in. This is the son. His father, listen, please hear this. His father came out and entreated him. If you look up that word entreated, it's like this vigorous offering. Come, 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 come. I'm really enthusiastic about getting you to come in. So the father comes out from the party and talking to his older son, his other son. Let's say his older son. I'm thinking his older for some reason. But he answered his father. Look, these many years I've served you. I've never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, don't you love the way he says that? He didn't say, my brother came home. He said, when this son of yours, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him. And he said to him, son, hear this. This is the grace of God. You are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this, your brother, he didn't say my son, he said your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and he is found. I do want to say this, and I bet you can get with this too. You can think of your own family. You can think of the mess-ups in your own family, brother, sister, whoever the relative is, right? The way that they messed up their lives. Now imagine your parents, your father, throwing them a party when they come back home after spending all the money that was given to them. Mm-hmm. But you've been there the whole time. You have obeyed. You have worked. You have done everything. I can understand the anger. I really can. And I know Jesus is trying to teach me something, too, because you're human. I get it. We think life should be equal and there should be a tit for tat, and that if I do this, Jesus, if I do this, you should help me, or see me, I should say, as a follower of you, and treat me differently than you treat the sinner who's just outside and it hasn't returned to you yet. And even when they return, I should have a little more upstanding than them. I should be in a little bigger mansion than they are, because I've been with you longer, mm-hmm. and I've been obedient. But God. What we need to understand is, in his position, and for those of us who've always been there, you're safe and you're provided for. Just as this son, he was lost. He had everything already. Jesus was saying, or the shepherd, I should say, was saying, the father was saying, there's no reason for you to be concerned. This was yours already. But I'm excited because your brother who was dead is now alive. Mm. Let's put it in terms, the one who repented has now returned. And think about our churches. Do we welcome back that sinner who has repented and come back, or do we make them jump through hoops to be welcomed back in? Mm. Jesus would. Do we show them a party? Welcome back, sister. Welcome back, brother. You made a mistake, but God, he has welcomed you back, so who am I to keep you out? It was to be celebrated. Notice, the parable, the story about the two sons, it ends abruptly. It's over. We have no idea how the older brother responds. Did he go back in? Did he throw his hand and, I'm going back out to the fields to work. Let me know when the party's over. Did he walk away in disgust and jealousy? His anger blinds him to the blessing and the gift he already had. Does that ever happen with us? That we're so caught up in somebody else's story, because his brother's story was not his story, but we're so caught up in looking for equity or looking for what we don't have or what we perceive we don't have, that we miss what we actually have. That's why I say there were actually two lost sons, but only one of them knew it. Hmm. Only one of them had the aha moment, the coming to his senses, the awakening. And then, you know what he also had to be? He had to be honest with himself. He didn't just wake up and just leave it there. He had to say, I have sinned against you. He had to accept what he had done wrong. You know, that's real repentance. You turn around, yourself, no excuses. Acceptance. Jesus wanted these religious leaders and teachers to think about that. He wants us to think about that too. Because here's the fact. All are being invited to the table. Mm-hmm. Some of us are already seated, right? And some people are still trying to get to the table, are trying to understand it. But we know God is the one who does the calling.
Yes.
He is the one that brings people to a table. Not all of our talents as pastors in the world can do anything. unless God opens their eyes. We're all being invited. All of our hearts, I wonder, is it where God's heart is? And I guess he wonders, is it, do we think the same way? I wonder if the Pharisees got it. Probably not. You know, Jesus' own disciples didn't get much of the story. We have 20, you know, we have hindsight. That's why we get it now. He wants all of us to come to know his mercy and his compassion. But the beauty of this is we're each walking our own journey. My journey is not yours, and yours is not mine.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us, like the one brother of self-discovery, had to go out, get knocked down, get yanked back, decide to be, you know, decide that, have his eyes open and decide he was going to turn around and go back. There are people who have that story, and there are others who don't have to come to their senses. We're already there, but we may be suffering from something else like pride.
Hmm.
We may be suffering from envy. We may be suffering from things that we don't even realize. Our journey. The older brother was very moralistic. And in congregations and in churches, we can have a tendency to be that. Because if I'm obedient enough, God will save me, or he will place me here. I need to repent harder, stronger, longer, and God will hear me and forgive me. God says it really doesn't take all that. Because your hard work isn't what got you here. It is my sacrifice that got you here.
Yes.
It is my going to the cross, suffering on the cross. And it is my rising from the dead, being resurrected, and then ascending to the Father. That's what got you here. And our lack is where Jesus can work. The Holy Spirit can move. We think that this brother, he also needs to come to his senses. He needs to come to his senses and realize that no amount of work in the field will earn him favor. Is that hard to hear? Sometimes it's hard to hear from me. We're going to fall at times. Sometimes your story may be being yanked back and returning, brought to your knees. Sometimes your story may be you'll be the person sitting here, because we have mountaintop experiences and we have valley experiences. Unless we stay in the house, in our house, don't move, don't watch TV, don't talk to anybody, don't say anything, close your eyes, don't look, none of us will do this perfectly. That's why we have a Savior, because he did it perfectly. And we have been forgiven through him.
Amen.
Aren't you glad God is patient and merciful, even though we don't deserve it? We should always be ready to forgive others. Think about that brother who would not forgive his brother. Just as God has forgiven us. Know that we are loved no matter which son or daughter we are in Christ. We are loved. And the one who leaves, the one who leaves, or the one who stays, whoever you may be at this season in your life, at this season in your life. That's what the scripture is all about. Is this possible? Yeah. Because with God, all things are possible. But what God wants us to do is not to keep the word to ourselves, but in our everyday lives, to give it and to share it with other people. Other people that are looking for answers. I can't tell you how many people I would have come into my class and ask me to pray with them when they know you're a believer, when you offer to pray with them.
Mm-hmm.
And our belief is that there is a Savior who laid down his life, that we might have life more abundant, and not just life here in the physical,
mm-hmm.
but eternal life. I pray that we walk in and know his grace forever. Amen?
Amen.
Let me pray. for us right now. Father God, you know each and every heart of every person listening right now. I thank you, Lord, that there is no accident in anything that you do. When you decide to speak into our lives, Lord, we can't help but hear you. Help us to hear you, Lord, but not only to hear you, but walk in the way that you've given us and to listen to you clearly and, Lord, to share with others the promise of salvation that you've given us. We thank you, we love you, and say it all in the mighty name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Pastor. Right now we're going to open up the mic so if there are any comments as we come to our close. Any comments you'd like to share with Pastor Gray? The mic's open. Please tell them.
Yes.
If you speak up, let them know where you're from.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I'm from Queens, Ohio. Enjoyed your words, Pastor. I'll be very frank. I was yanked into the service here. I was thinking all kinds of different things I could do behind somebody and doing what I need to do. So it resonates with me saying sometimes you get yanked where you need to go. And I was yanked to this conversation here. So I appreciate everyone. God bless.
Amen. Thank you.
Do another?
Hey, man, this is Bishop Harris from Chicago, Illinois.
Bishop, how are you?
And I'm good. I really enjoyed the teaching today. I enjoyed how she talked about how the Father saw him from a way off, because, see, that's how God is with us. He sees us even when we don't think he sees us. He sees us from a way off when we come into him and say we're sorry, but he also sees us from way off when we're doing what we ain't supposed to do. But I like the way he said that the Father saw him, and then when he saw him, he got excited, because every time God brings one of his sheep back into the fold, he gets excited. And then I like the way she said that the outfit, it had to be changed before he went in the house. Same way it is. You can't come to God in your same old dirty outfit. You want to come in, you want to be part of God, you're going to have to change. The Bible says that you got to change everything. So you have got to change and do what you have to do in order to be in the house. But I really enjoyed it. I really did. I'm going to stop and get off the highway, as they say, before I get started, because I'm telling you, she gave a tremendous scripture, and she really brought out a lot of points. And so I thank God for her.
There's one point I want to clarify, and I appreciate the brother's comments, just to make sure I make it clear, because so often people think that they have to come clean to God, when it is actually God who cleans. So come into the church, we should be people who are willing to help us get what we need, right? To see how God cleans us up. So coming into the house, you're not going to be perfect. And baptized, you're not going to be perfect. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes people think, I have to stop smoking before I come to church. That's not it.
Mm-hmm.
I have to stop sinning before I come to church. Really, that's not it. God, that the house of the Lord is for sinners. So it's that you come in and you start to learn about who God is, and you can't help but respond and change. Mm-hmm. So I'm saying that to say we can't clean ourselves up enough. He's going to do the cleaning up. He's going to do the cleaning up.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. This is Sister Terrence from Detroit, Michigan. And first of all, I'd like to say hello, beautiful queen. I love your joy. I just love how you just... It's just like you radiate this peace or gentleness, you know, and I really love that. Because when you were talking, I was thinking about, first, I was thinking about the two brothers. But then when you started talking about Jesus, I was thinking, wow, Jesus was that other brother. That, I mean, I don't know what everybody, but I was getting that. Jesus was that other brother that you spoke about. You all know the story about the brothers. But you were letting us know it doesn't matter how much we do inside the building or how much we think we can be that way, guess what? We might be lost inside too. And the only way that we could be back redeemed, and I got that from you, that it was our older brother who came and gave us that redemption, that compassion, that love. And like he cleaned us up. So therefore, you say, it's almost saying, what right do we have to get upset with someone who has made mistakes and straight away, or somebody that's been there? Like, how can we be the person that's been there and be like, when are they going to be coming back after I've been there doing all these years?
Mm-hmm.
So, I really never thought about Jesus being the other brother. So when he kept talking, when you went back to him, I said, you know what? Jesus was the other brother. Like you said, the other brother from the other father, motherhood, from the father. So I was like, man, that was real deep. So now I'm going to look at that story, not just with the younger brother, but I'm going to look at it as the best brother, the older brother, the younger brother, older brother, and the best brother. So thank you, woman of God, for this sharing, because I can feel that you know what, it's like you've been there, like you've just seen it, been there, and I just thank God for your wisdom and your beauty. So it really, I can feel that beauty inside and out. So thank you, beautiful queen.
Thank you, sister, beautiful queen, sister, love you. Let me just clarify just one little part that.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, ma'am. When we talk about the brothers, okay, there were two brothers. Now, when Jesus was talking, he talked about the father.
Yes.
The father who comes out to the brothers. It's the father who does the covering. So when we look at it, yeah, we're thinking about Jesus, we're thinking about the Father, but those are the only two who can do that. If we just remember that, no way we can go wrong. If we just keep it at the Father and Jesus, you got it, sister. You got it.
Thank you for that clarity. Thank you for that clarity. Thank you. Praise God.
Yes, ma'am.
Your mother.
Good evening. This is Deacon Bradley from Houston, Michigan. I want to tell my sister in Christ that you did a wonderful, wonderful job. Yes, your joy was really, really there. I do appreciate you, even though you didn't use the word works, but you talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
And our works cannot save you.
Yeah.
They cannot. They can get you a crown, but they can't save you. And I appreciate that. I also appreciate you did something I never even might have thanked for. And you talked about how he put a coat on him to cover him. And it's amazing. That's what the blood of Jesus does for us. It covers our sins.
Amen.
It covers our sins that he will one day fill us more in righteousness. But I love it because it covers our sin. I really love that. And one of the last things I want to mention is, you look at his audience, it was Pharisees. It was Pharisees. And I believe they were the big brother. And I never put two and two together until you said, just stop right there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think with the Pharisees, like anything else, if they walked away, then after the Pharisees, they just walked away from God.
Yeah.
They went and embraced their brother, they went in God. So, Jesus talked about the supper, the great supper. And are you going to come in? Or are you going to go somewhere
else? Mm.
And so I thought you said that, I thought I put a whole bunch of things together with this particular parable that I've never put with it before. So I thank you for what you brought to the table.
Amen.
And it's glad we connected you that.
Amen. I appreciate that. I think about what you said because I think about how we talk about really people who don't know God don't know that they really have a choice to say no. They have a choice to say no, because when I talk to people who have no belief in God, the thing that they say is, you're like a robot. You do whatever he says. I said, that's out of love.
Mm-hmm.
I said, but I can say no. I can go my own way. It won't be pretty. It won't work out well.
Mm-hmm.
And if I have any sense, I won't do that. But I can say no, and I can turn away. And again, when he wants to get my attention, boom. And I can still say no. I love that God gives us a choice. And we do it out of love. Keep moving forward in love.
Amen.
We have room for one more, for another. We have a number of different area codes on here. Anyone else have to comment? Let me make sure all... Okay, I have a couple that may not be... Okay. Number 216. For those of you that were listening, I'm sorry, I had a couple of you muted because I was hearing sound and noises in the background. Do you have a comment? Your mic is up. 216? 410. Amen. I'm assuming that that everyone has been fed, and I'm getting a feedback. I'm assuming that everyone has been fed, so we're going to move forward toward our closing. Pastor Gray, I thought that you did an outstanding job. I know I was blessed. It's my first time ever hearing you speak, and I was just blessed by it. I was truly blessed by it. Going to echo off of what Pastor Miles has said, that we are going to invite you back into your family. Once you come once, okay, listen, your family. So you can't run, you can't hide. I know where you are.
Right? Thank you, Dr. Thank you.
So,
praise to God. Amen.
We are all here. We are all just brothers and sisters of the faith. We're here because we all love the Lord, and we just come just to show our love as believers. We just come to show our love. And however that may be, everyone comes in their own way, and everyone is received just as you are, as long as everything is biblically based. You know, we're all in it together. We're all in it together. So I do thank you for accepting the invitation to come forth. Again, I was truly blessed, and you had a lot of nuggets there. You hit it on a number of different things that you did a little twist on, which I really, really enjoyed. So I am going to turn it back over to you for our closing. Pass them out.
Open the doors.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All our protocol.
Pastor Gray, would you like to open the doors? Anyone like to,
So if there is anyone here who, for the first time, your heart has been open, your eyes have been open, and you've never declared the name of Jesus as your personal Savior, please feel free to do so. You have enough pastors on here to connect with you and to make sure that you get what you need, but there is a time when your eyes are open, and there is a time when God is speaking to you clearly. And if there's someone who has not, as of yet, done that, the doors are open for anyone who is ready to take that step. Amen.
Thank you so much. We'd like to close out on prayer, and once again, for those of you who have tuned in, thank you so much. You could have been doing anything, but you chose this hour, this time. So I just pray, you know, that a word was heard. For those of you who are silent listeners, we just pray that something was said, that you would not just be hearers, but you would be doers of the word, and that's what it's all about. You know, we can listen all day, but just make sure that our hearts are changed and we have we've been transformed and want to follow Jesus. And if you don't know Jesus, let me tell you something. My brother, my sister, if I am talking to you, if you're listening to the computer, listen, you are missing out on the best part of your life. You're missing out on the best part of your life. So God does allow U-turns. He does allow U-turns. It does not make a difference if you feel like you're heading in the wrong direction. God does allow U-turns, and that's what this is all about. So, Pastor Gray, would you close the line, please? Thank you so much.
Hey, my friend. Privilege and pleasure. Thank you. Lord God, we come before you. We are so grateful for this time we have spent together, for any time spent going over your word is time well spent. We thank you for every person that's here. We thank you for every heart that was here. And we pray for those, Lord, that right now may be ailing and they just stressed out to be here today. We pray for special healings for them. Lord, we thank you for what you are doing with this ministry and all involved with it, because, Father, Zoom has been a blessing to us all, the radio, the podcast. Bless this ministry, Lord. Bless it so that it reaches far and wide to continue to spread your word, and to continue to speak about who you are in our lives, Lord, so that more may be brought to you. Disciples making disciples. Yeah. We thank you for this time. We ask, Lord, that when we hit the bed tonight, that when we sleep well, Lord, we sleep knowing that we have spent some good time with you, and we thank you for it. And we ask that you bless each and every person. In the name of Jesus, for his name's sake, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Once again, thank you. Remember, we love you. Good night.
Amen. God bless everyone. Thank you.
Recording stopped.
Alone in a crowded room. Hey.